And actually ready and waiting to join us right now on the show straight away, kicking off the day, is our very good friend to talk all things Mexican football. I'm delighted to say that he's in better spirits as Mexican football has got slightly better than the last few months or so. Joining us here on World Football Daily to talk about it all is Mr. Eric Gomez. Eric, it's a pleasure to have you back on board. It's been a little difficult talking to you in the last few months about Mexican football, mate, but it's nice. World Cup 2014, Mexico are going to be there. How does that feel, Eric Gomez?
It's good news that's worth about $600 million for all of Mexico. So I'd say it's pretty good news. And again, you know, better late than never has probably been the mantra for Mexico this year. And they've definitely come through at the critical moment against New Zealand. And I think that despite a movement for temperance in Mexico in terms of the celebration, it's definitely a relief.
I was going to say it must be a great sense of relief, a big weight off the shoulders of everybody involved really in Mexican football, because they've made life so difficult for themselves, especially in the last 4 months or so. Do you get the feeling that it is just a big sigh coming out of the Mexican camp rather than a hip hip hooray, we're going to Brazil?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there was, again, outside of those 10 minutes when Mexico were losing 2-1 to Costa Rica and Panama was beating the United States, you know, more so than those literal 10 minutes, there was a pretty extensive period of time where it looked like Mexico was going to miss out on Brazil 2014. And fans were, I mean, getting used to that idea, I'd say reluctantly, but it was very difficult. And to get the opportunity to play against New Zealand was amazing to begin with. They beat them 5-1 at Estadio Azteca, and that really made it so that a lot of the fans regained a little bit of the confidence that was lost in the team, and they move into Wellington. And I thought that this was a very good opportunity for them to really stamp their authority on this intercontinental playoff, which they did. And 3-0 in the first half, and then they end up winning 4-2. So just an absolutely, again, yeah, a sigh of relief for everybody involved, and now they can move forward to 2014 and think about what kind of group they're going to get.
Were there any nerves at all, do you think, going into yesterday's game because of how Mexico so triumphantly reclaimed the Azteca as a fortress, so to speak, in that first leg against New Zealand?
Yeah, there were a bit of nerves, and I don't think it had much to do with New Zealand because, again, their performance had been terrible. And we saw them at Azteca come out without – it looked like they didn't even have a set strategy at times other than defend, because they completely refused to have anything to do with possession. In the first half, they had about 18% of possession. And in the second half, they brought it up to 27%. So it was pretty dull to watch New Zealand out just running behind the ball with Mexico, even when they were down by such a hefty margin. In the second game, I think it had more to do with we had seen such an inconsistent Mexico side for the entirety of the year that there was kind of a sense of doom and gloom that was left over from those performances. And despite the fact that they had a four goal advantage, there was some nervousness because New Zealand had been very vocal and adamant throughout the week in saying that they would be way more aggressive at home and they would try to make it so that Mexico would have a very difficult 90 minutes. And I think that they were actually pretty good in the first 15 minutes. They were unlucky to concede that goal to Oribe Peralta, but they were absolutely on it. You know, they showed a very different attitude, New Zealand, than the one that they had shown in the first leg. It could have turned out differently for them, but unfortunately for the All Whites, so Oribe Peralta was just on his game.
An unbelievable first half hat trick, as you say there, for Oribe Peralta. He's really found his form in these two games under Herrera. Do you think that's a coincidence, or is it just Peralta has finally kicked himself into gear, regardless of who the manager was? He's finally kind of achieving some top performances for this national side.
You know, Peralta was overshadowed by how badly his team was playing under Chepo de la Torre and under Vucetic, because he actually was the leading goal scorer for Mexico in the Hex, beating out Chicharito in those 10 games. So he had four goals, Chicharito had two, Denigris had one. Raul Jimenez had that spectacular bicycle kick against Panama. And that's all she wrote. You know, those were all the 8 goals for Mexico in those 10 games. Rather, there were 7 goals. And Peralta had 3, not 4. So he was still the leading scorer. And as we moved into these intercontinental playoffs, he just completely exploded out of the gate. And I think that that had more to do with the frailty of the New Zealand defense, more so than Peralta just getting a huge boost in form over the last couple of months. I think that he's been the same player, and that now teams are starting to recognize his talent and his form, and not so much his potential, because he's been doing this in the Liga MX for years now. And at 29, this is really kind of the perfect moment for him to come across a World Cup. If he's able to continue that form, we'll see most definitely a Chicharito Peralta strike partnership in Brazil. And that's going to be very interesting and very fun for Mexico football fans.
Do you think that will be the case, that Chicharito will be back in this Mexico starting lineup, especially after the way Herrera came and brought in, obviously, a group of players that he very much knows and who know how to play his style of football with the en masse recruiting, so to speak, of the Club America players into this Mexico national team?
Yeah, you said it. I mean, there's really no animosity towards Chicharito or any of the European-based players. Herrera said this over and over again. I'm choosing this group because I'm familiar with this group, and this is an emergency situation. I'm basically playing my club team out there because I know them well, and they're going to play their hearts out. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, he brought in 7 Club America players into that starting lineup yesterday against New Zealand. It was the same starting lineup that we saw against the All Whites in Mexico City. And he rounded it out with 3 players from León, which are doing quite well by themselves as well, and Oribe Peralta, the lone player from Santos Laguna. The arguments that he gave for not bringing in guys like Chicharito were pretty flimsy. You know, you could see past them. He would say, well, you know, it's going to be a very difficult trip for them. It's a long plane ride, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think that Herrera was mindful of the pressure and the negativity surrounding the performances for these European-based players, namely Chicharito, namely Giovanni Dos Santos. And he decided to give them a break. He said, all right, well, this is the most pressure-packed situation we could possibly think of for you guys. Sit it out. Watch from home. Cheer your guys on. We're going to get you into Brazil. And you're going to be out of the spotlight for a few months. And once we get into Brazil 2014 in terms of the planning, they'll definitely be there. So I think it's interesting to see Chicharito's definitely going to be on that squad, and I would bet that Giovanni Dos Santos is on that squad. It's going to be interesting to see which of those European sacred cows under Chepo are going to hang around for Herrera, because we saw a very interesting shift in the dynamic and in the strategy for Mexico, going from a straight 4-4-2 to a 3-5-2, and that's obviously going to leave some guys out in the cold because they just don't fit the strategy.
That being said, do you think if an emergency situation arises, maybe in the World Cup, there will be another revert to the Club America kind of style that Herrera's brought in and players that he's brought in? Because, as you say, he knows these guys so well. He knows that they can dig him out of a hole if need be at points. And if you're one of these Club America players, do you not start to think, well, you know, we in the difficult situation when the backs were against the wall, it was us that got Mexico to the World Cup. We should be rewarded, but surely with a trip to Brazil.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's going to be very difficult for Herrera to move past when he does deliver his final 23 players. He brought in 10 Club America guys. 7 players started, but there was a total of 10. So that's essentially half the squad. And that's essentially your entire Mexican base for that team. Teams in Mexico are allowed to have 5 non-nationals, 5 foreigners, regardless of where they are. And they actually have 6 because they've naturalized Aquivaldo Mosquera, who's a defender for the Colombian national team. So they have 17 players. But of those 17 players, I would reckon that 7 of those guys are very young prospects that they're bringing along the system. So essentially it's 10 guys that play on a regular basis. And those are the 10 guys that he brought in. Now, as we move along, and I mentioned this before, there are some guys that are going to be considered outside of the Liga MX fold, and even within that Liga MX. You're going to see players like Chaco Jimenez of Cruz Azul, and you're going to see guys from Chivas who suddenly perk up their form be considered as it should be, because we're still 7 months away. I don't think that these guys can take it that personally if their form suddenly dips and we see other guys take up the mantle and say, you know what, I'm ready for this challenge. It's going to have to do with the strategy. It's going to have to do with their form. But, you know, I still see potentially five or six of those players making the cut from Club America.
What about Miguel Herrera and your impressions of him, Eric? Because the itchy trigger finger of El Tri's Football Federation, you would have thought, might have been being squeezed once again had he not been able to take Mexico past New Zealand. Do you believe he is the man for the job after three, four managers in the space of 3 months or so?
Yeah, I think he's the right guy at the right time for Mexico. Mexico needed a fiery leader. They needed somebody who would be able to just go in there and spout no nonsense. I definitely believe Herrera was that guy. With Club America over the last 18, it's closer to 2 years now, he's never missed the playoffs. He's imprinted a very specific style of play, and he has actual success. I mean, he won the league title back in May. So it was kind of a coming out party for him, and he took full advantage of the federation, of the situation surrounding the team. And his intent was always to not be considered a guy that's just going to coach those two matches. He's been talking about taking the team into Russia 2018. And I think with the instability that Mexico has had over the last few months, he's playing his cards quite well. And 9 goals over 2 games in the Intercontinental Playoff, not to mention 4 goals against Finland. I mean, that's 13 goals in 3 games. I mentioned before, Mexico scored 7 times in 10 games for the Hex. So I don't think that they can be disappointed with his performances, and I don't think that they can be disappointed with the way that he cobbled the squad together in such a short amount of time. Will he be there for Mexico and Brazil? Absolutely. Will he be there beyond? You know, I think that they would be wise to wait. They are going to negotiate a contract with him in the coming weeks. But if I were the Federation, I still think that I wield the power. And I would kind of put a kibosh on giving Herrera 5 years with Mexico. I'd say, all right, take us to Brazil. Let's see what happens. And if you can take us past the group stage, past the round of 16, towards the quarterfinals, which has been Mexico's goal essentially for the last 20 years, then we can talk about a 4-year extension.
But does Mexico as a football team, does it need really a feeling of stability around it? Because aside from, of course, from Chepo, who was in charge of 50 games or so for the national team, since 2008, aside from Chepo, there's only been one manager, Sven-Goran Eriksson, who's even made it into double figures. You know, Jesus Ramirez managed only 5 games, and Fran Flores, 3 games, and then, of course, Tenya Vukotic and now Herrera making it 1 and 2 games for them. It's hard if you're a player, isn't it, to turn up at these national camps, and if it's a new manager every time that you turn up, it's hard to feel attached to a system for the international team, something that you do need quite a lot to be able to survive in the international game.
Yeah, and I don't think that you can blame players like Carlos Vela for just outright refusing to play for Mexico because of these kind of quirks, these foibles that go on within the ranks of the directives and the people that are running the sport in Mexico. These are guys, according to Sven-Goran Eriksson in his autobiography, and I completely agree with him, that ask you the simplest and the dumbest questions regarding the sport. He was very, very concerned that he had to respond to more than 10 guys, you know, being the Liga MX owners. They run this in a manner very similar to the NFL, to Major League Baseball, to the NBA, to all the big American sports. And while that might seem like a good idea, you know, it's definitely a good idea for revenue sharing. It's a good idea to get together and talk about topics like free agency and that sort of thing. Is it really a good idea to do that in terms of running a national team? I don't think so. And I think we spoke about this before. You know, it's as if Roy Hodgson would have to respond to Arsenal management and to Manchester United management and Tottenham management. It's ridiculous. Just let the FA do its job. And I don't think that that's been the case in Mexico. You've had too many cooks trying to alter the recipe as we've moved along. And every time that there's a problem, somebody new just kind of grabs hold of the microphone and says, I'm gonna manage the national team in terms of who we have coaching it and who we bring in terms of players. And these are owners. These are businessmen, very successful businessmen who have done quite well over their careers. But they're not football people. And I think that's the biggest problem for Mexico. Once you get people that are not related directly to the sport making decisions, you're going to have a lot of trouble, and Mexico has certainly felt the brunt of that.
Eric, I will ask you on a day like today to not mention Roy Hodgson's name to me, because I'm probably going to end up going off on a tirade later on in the show about this, but I was stuck at Wembley watching that diabolical affair yesterday evening. So English football, international football at the moment, feel free to change it as much as you want. Get 10, 15 people interfering if we can get at least some entertainment out of it. Definitely none of that yesterday at Wembley. But Mexico giving plenty of entertainment to the El Tri fans. Eric, just quickly on the US men's national team's result against Austria last night. It's a big come down, these two friendlies in general for the US men's national team, just because they've been riding such a wave of winning, especially with the Gold Cup and World Cup qualification going so smoothly, really, after what possibly people expected to be slightly shaky in the hexagonal round.
Yeah, but I don't think we can draw too many conclusions out of this result against Austria. Again, it's the same as the game versus Scotland, knowing full well that you would not have a full squad available. Some of your biggest stars are injured or just simply not considered for this game. You know, I think Jurgen Klinsmann deserves a break in terms of who he puts out on the pitch and to try different styles of play for this team as we move along. As you said, they've had such a dominant year in 2013 with the Gold Cup and with World Cup qualifying that you don't want to be complacent, of course, and I don't think that's what's happening here. But you have earned enough street cred to try different things, and we did see a couple of different wrinkles from this Klinsmann team against Austria and against Scotland. So to think that the United States is going to end 2013 on a sour note, I think is too much to say. And I saw a colleague of mine, Seth Vertelny, of Goalpost, the overall record for the United States, and I think that they just lost three or four times in the entire year, and they had a lot of activity this year. So count the Belgium game and count the Germany game as kind of high watermarks in terms of what they did in the friendly arena. Mm. But I think what you take home from this 2013, if you're the U.S., is, look, we came back on top. It was a down year for Mexico, but we came back on top in the Gold Cup. And we just absolutely dominated World Cup qualifying. We didn't lose at Azteca. We won out at home. And we've developed several new German-American and Mexican-American stars for the future. So it's a very, very bright future for Klinsmann. And I wouldn't be too concerned over this game against Austria.
And finally, Eric, you mentioned there were obviously have in the last couple of games been some changes to that squad, and it is a depleted yet still there's some plenty of class in that US men's national team as well at the moment. But has there been anybody that stood out for you that's really muscled their way almost in front of Jurgen Klinsmann and saying, pick me, take me to Brazil next year?
I was very impressed with the attitude that the guys displayed against Panama back in the Hex. And there was a very interesting story that came out of that, and you've surely heard this. Kyle Beckerman was asked by a unnamed Panama player to take it easy, quote unquote. You know, just take it easy. You guys are in the World Cup. Beckerman replied, "This is my World Cup qualification. We're usually on the bench. You know, this is a game for us to say, Jurgen, we're here and we're doing a good enough job to be considered for Brazil." So yeah, there's definitely two or three players that since then, and this is no reference to Mexico, but Graham Susi is one of them. Beckerman is another guy. And I definitely think that the number two race for the goalkeeper spot is wide open. I think the United States have an amazing amount of quality goalkeepers right now, and I would love to see Klinsmann rotate some of those players as we move into the 2014 friendlies. You know, Tim Howard has a lock on that spot, but I don't think Tim Howard has another World Cup in him now in terms of age, and U.S. goalkeepers have been pretty prudent about when it's been their time to step back, and I don't see Howard maybe starting in 2018, so this might be a very good audition for those guys that are looking at that World Cup, like Brad Guzan and so forth, to see who's going to take up the mantle.
I think that's who's got our vote here at WFD HQ. Brad Guzan looks set in line to be that new number one once Tim Howard is gone from between the posts. But it's going to be a long time before we see that. But hopefully, Eric, it won't be a long time before we catch up with you again to talk a little bit of Mexican football, a bit of Liga MX, and, of course, a little bit of USF football as well, mate. Thanks so much for joining us today, Eric. I'm glad it could be a lot happier note than it has been, that's for sure.
Absolutely, we're all smiles down here. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Eric. Take care, man, and have a very good rest of the day. Eric Gomez joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Mexico and World Cup qualification and World Cup 2014. Mexico will be there after a resounding thumping of New Zealand over two legs. What, 9-4, I think it was in the end over the two legs. Just. Who was worried? I wasn't. I don't think Rafa was. I think Eric might have been at points. No, we debated whether this could be a real stumbling block or not, but Herrera has come in, made some drastic changes in desperate times, desperate measures, and by goodness, they have paid off for the L3 national side, and Herrera will be leading that team to Brazil.